Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up. Come on, Bobby.
Welcome to Wednesday's show. Pretty good. Amy, you good?
Yeah, doing good. You?
Yeah, I'm good. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Let's do engagement check. Hey, Raymundo.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? I thought we started the show and checking in with you.
All right.
Raymundo's been with this girl for 6 years. We've been talking, heck, almost 7 years probably for long. We've been talking about this engagement.
Probably.
When did you guys start dating?
2013, 2014.
You don't know?
Yeah, it's blurry. Because she thinks we started dating before we actually did. I knew the exact time it happened. So it's like 6-7 years.
Okay, so 6 years. You have been, you've told us you were going to propose at least 3 times at this point.
Yes.
And so now you told me then you may propose at the Brett Eldridge concert.
Absolutely.
So I got you tickets to Brett Eldridge.
And you did. Thank you.
And how was it was an all Christmas show. How was it?
Yep. He only played Christmas music. He had park benches, the lights, the flocked Christmas trees. It was Christmas in the Rhine. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
My chick loves Christmas too.
So the show was good. Was it romantic?
Very. You had to dress up. There was a thing before, people were in 3-piece suits. I didn't do that one. But for what I went to, I was wearing a sport coat. I had a polo on. We were very dressed up.
So then what happened? Did you think about any proposal, any update?
No proposal. Oh. Nope. Didn't happen.
Shocking.
I thought that
Bobby got played.
This was how
you did say to me, and I have forgotten about this, but listeners hit me up yesterday on Twitter, and they're like, hey, what happened with Raymundo proposing at Brett Eldridge?
Yeah, that honestly, in theory, that sounded great. It was going to be perfect, but ended up falling on a school night. I would have liked maybe a couple drinks to have been drank beforehand. Didn't have the ring. And I haven't talked to her dad yet, so...
Oh, that's...
Minor details.
Couple things missing there.
Raymundo, her dad lives 20 minutes away, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I blew the opportunity at Thanksgiving.
No, the opportunity's all the time.
You can drive. I bet he's in town every day.
You can turn on an episode of Friday Night Lights at your house, and before it's over, be back, probably.
Right.
True. I would talk to him. I definitely will.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Eddie thinks you're never getting engaged.
No, never.
He thinks you're playing me for all this free stuff.
No, I'm not playing you. I swear to God, in my head, I wanted to propose at Brett.
No, you didn't, because you didn't have the ring.
Yeah.
And you hadn't talked to her dad.
Yeah, that ring thing's a process. And talking with the dad, I've been a little scared.
I don't know. He's like, well, it was a school night.
You're scared he's going to say no?
What's the biggest holdup?
Yeah, he can't propose on a school night.
Yeah, but
her dad is very manly. I think his nickname is actually Gary Manhands or something like that.
What do you think he's going to do, though, beat you up?
It's very intimidating.
You think Gary Manhands is going to lay those hands on you?
Does Gary Manhands listen to the show?
He does not.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
What are you more scared of, trying to get the ring or Gary Manhands?
The ring's fine. We just need some money, maybe some financial checks. Other than that, the ring's fine, but I will talk to her father. I will do it.
Okay, will you be married by Christmas?
Yes.
And they'll be engaged by Christmas?
Yes, I have to. I have families that are ready to kill me. My mom's like disowning me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, review the Brett Eldridge Christmas show, though, okay, so listeners can go see it somewhere.
I give it 4 lamplights out of 5. I mean, if you want to really set the mood, I don't know what cities he's going to. It's Christmas, and I mean, he kills it. Silent Night and Oh Holy Night, the 2 biggest ones. Standing ovation after he does them.
Really?
Wow. Oh, I'm talking the hair on your arm will stand up. It is very moving. He has 3 lights coming down, and I mean, I swear at one point I saw spirits.
Wow. Yeah.
So dumb.
I mean, Ray. Oh.
What kind of spirits? It's very, very deep. I'm telling you. It is a great
he
movie.
He said he saw past relatives.
Wait.
What? No, he didn't.
Did he tell you this?
Yes, he did.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I was about to get out of this and go into a song. Nope. Okay. You think, I'm not even saying you're wrong. Can't prove you're right or wrong. You think when Brett Eldridge was singing All Holy Night, you saw relatives that had passed away?
Yes, I saw my great grandma.
Doing what?
I just felt her.
But did you see her?
In my mind, yes. Was she physically there? Probably not. But it was honestly very moving. Only he's singing at the Ryman. I mean, wow. It just goes right through you. You feel it, the entire song.
And you feel that your great grandmother visited
like
you during
there.
The Christmas song.
Yes.
On stage or next to you in the seat?
Next to me in the seat.
She have good seats?
Very good.
I get her a good ticket too?
Yeah, hooked it up. And if I remember correctly, it was her favorite song.
Okay, now
that
you're
makes sense. And that makes sense.
You
that
are
she
saying,
would show up.
Or it makes sense that it made you think of her in a really moving moment.
Yes.
Why are you talking like that now?
Because I'm just thinking back to it right now, and I'm like,
Did you tell your girlfriend Bae that your grandmother visited you?
I told her I was moved by it, and I said I swear I saw relatives, and she's like, I was touched by that song as well. That was it. It was quick.
Huh. I don't even think I can't prove he's right or wrong. Right. You can't.
No, you can't.
But to feel an emotion that reminds you of someone, or to actually see a ghost, are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Your grandmother knocked over your guitar.
I can't say her guitar. I don't know if she did or not.
That's what you thought.
That's what I wrote about in first book. I just shut it down and was like, I don't know what happened. I'm going to check it.
Yeah.
However, did you see your great grandmother? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. You maybe felt her though.
Yes.
Okay. I'm more down with that. Okay. I'm down with whatever you think.
Because he felt her. He actually felt her.
How did you know her? Did you ever meet your great-grandmother?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
We had four generations balling out in Michigan, yeah.
Wow.
For how long, though?
Like 15 years.
What?
Yeah, we don't mess around in Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah.
As soon as puberty hits, they have them.
Except for me. It'll be tough for four generations of me.
Why don't we play, because Brett has played Oh Holy Night on the show before.
That's right.
And it was so good, and we were like, holy mackerel.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo's got the news here on Wednesday. What you got, Raymundo?
In Jersey City, New Jersey, an officer, three civilians, and two gunmen were all killed in a shootout. Officials say the suspects targeted a Jewish store. Cops have now been put on high alert and are being deployed to synagogues for the next couple days. In other news, the youth minister who slapped a Georgia reporter's butt on live TV during a run publicly apologized on TV and said he was caught up in the moment. And finally, Google is now warning users in real time if websites you're visiting are being used by hackers to fish for personal details. So that's good news.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Right, let's see what's happening with everybody here on the show in a segment we call What's the Haps?
Hey, what's the haps?
Amy, what's happening?
Well, I poisoned my son almost.
You almost poisoned your son?
Yeah. So, I mean, do you remember that he's allergic to shrimp? Or shellfish?
I'm not his mom. Okay.
Well.
Nor his dad.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but do you remember? Because sometimes we forget. So we had this Haitian dish that was made, and it had shrimp in it. My daughter requested it, and our Haitian friend Mark, he made it. And you drizzle it over rice, and it's so yummy. And I was in charge of packing their lunches, and I was trying to do it the night before so they'd be in the fridge. When they went to school the next day, it's done. Put them in the lunch boxes already. You can't see what's inside. And poor little guy got to school and opened it up and was like, at least he knows he's allergic. And he was like, oh, freaking out because it like touched his lunchbox. And he's like, I can't eat this. And I'm sure his teachers or whatever are probably like, who packed your lunch?
So what did he do for food?
My mom. I don't know. He had to share with other kids. I don't know. Like, they gave him food, but I packed.
Who knows? Who cares?
I packed shellfish.
He's alive.
Figure it out.
I just gave them the same thing. It's what Sashira wanted, and it's really yummy. And I thought, they'll have some of their Haitian culture at lunch. And she ate it. He didn't. Luckily, he knows what he's allergic to because mom forgot. My bad.
My bad. There you go. Hey.
What's the hat?
What's the hat to you?
Well, on Netflix, they have this series called The Movies That Made Us, and it's really good. And it was up in that little preview where they just start showing something. Never watched it. One of my friends is like, hey, you should watch it. You should watch Home Alone, the Home Alone one. I like Home Alone. Not a big believer in it being just a Christmas movie, but whatever. You can watch it in June. It still is good. Mm-hmm. Can't do that with Elf. But I digress. So I watch it, and it's basically a documentary of how that movie was made. And like the inside, by the way, they found the outside of the house, but the inside of the house, they had to build it inside of a gym. Wow. They had to build the inside, and so they shot all the inside seats inside of a gym. And the people they wanted in the movie that didn't get cast, and how, what's the guy's name? The small criminal?
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, mm-hmm. Like, he was like, I'm playing golf every morning. Screw you guys. I'll get there after golf. It was just all the behind-the-scenes stuff of Home Alone. And then I watched Die Hard, and how Bruce Willis was just a TV guy that no one thought was an action hero.
Christmas movie.
Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. They were like, he's just a nerdy TV guy. And everybody laughed in theaters when they would show the preview. They took him off the poster. And so how Die Hard was made. And then I watched Ghostbusters. And I haven't watched Dirty Dancing. Is that the other one? They have Dirty Dancing
Amy,
was made.
You should watch that.
So they're all 45 minutes. It's called The Movies That Made Us. Mike, do you like it? Yeah, Mike D loves movies. He's doing a movie podcast. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was awesome. I think probably the Die Hard one was the most interesting just because I didn't know that about Bruce Willis.
That he was considered a nerd.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, not an action star at all. And the part was originally offered to Frank Sinatra based off a book, And Frank Sinatra turned it down.
Wait, crazy. Frank Sinatra was going to be...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was like written in it and everyone was like, no, I'm too old for that.
It was like, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So he was like, see, he says, I'm too old. And wow. Like, I'm not doing it.
And now Bruce Willis is kind of the tough guy.
He's the action star. That movie set that up for him.
Crazy.
So it's called The Movies That Made Us, the series on Netflix. There's also one called The Toys That Made Us. Have you watched that one yet? That's the same kind of vein. But I encourage that to all of you guys. All right, that's what's happening with me. Hey, thank you.
What's the hat?
Lunchbox.
Man, I go out to my recycle bin yesterday, and I'm going to dump some recycling in. And what's on top of the recycle bin? That dang thing again, the recycle guy begging for tips. Holiday tips. He leaves.
Oh, you're a trash guy asking for tips, huh?
I mean, I just can't understand.
What do you mean? But now, what's he doing? How's it happening?
He puts a plastic envelope, and he tapes it at the top of your bin, and he has a little Christmas card in there, and it says, hey, happy holidays if you'd like to leave me a holiday, tip is what it says. Just leave it, tape it to the top of your bag.
Are you against that so much?
I just don't understand. He's just doing his job. It's not like he's doing anything extraordinary or above and beyond. He's just putting my recycling in the recycling truck.
What about somebody who brings you a pizza, though, and they're making an hourly wage, and they're just doing their job?
But that's a convenience, so I don't have to drive and go get it.
Well, you could have to drive and take your trash to the dump.
And
that's what we used to have to do.
But as a radio show, we give people entertainment. Should people be tipping us?
They send you stuff all the time. Mm-hmm.
You get gifts sent to you all the time.
Also,
he may be doing it because people are asking, how do I get you something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's making it easy on everyone, too.
So then that means I got to tip my mailman. I got
to
tip
anyone.
Tip the cashier at the grocery store.
Now you're a little hyperbole here.
I got to go to the gas station. Right. I'm just saying.
You know what? You're doing all right. You should probably tip people if you can.
I do tip people. Like when I go to a restaurant and I have a waiter, I tip them.
Okay. Let us know how it goes. You're not going to tip them?
Oh, I already recycled it.
Oh, you recycled the bag. All right. Hey.
Oh, what's the hat?
Eddie, what's up?
Well, I got a mouthful for my wife. No pun intended. But she was upset because I'm still eating our Thanksgiving leftovers. I didn't know those things go bad after a week. We're like a week and a half after Thanksgiving. She's like, you cannot be eating that anymore. And I've been eating it probably, I don't know, every other day.
I don't think it goes bad, though, until it like smells bad or there's something funky on
it. They say the Tuesday, well, I shared in the pile a while ago that Thursday's Thanksgiving, and then the following Tuesday, you should kind of start getting rid of some of it.
Well, I called my mom because I trust my mom.
Yeah, of course, as we always do.
Yes, and she said the same thing. She's like, do not eat that anymore. Throw it away. Yeah. It's done.
At a week, you're for sure stretching it already.
But I feel great. I'm not sick or anything, so.
Yeah, I'm okay with you. As long as it doesn't look bad or smell bad, eat it.
That's what I'm saying.
We come from different schools of these fancy folks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'll probably eat some more tomorrow.
Right. Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
Bobby Bones Show. All right, Morgan number two has a segment about food. Why?
I love food.
She loves food. Here we go. Food World.
It's time for Food World, num num num, with Morgan number two.
All right, so in early 2020, we're going to get a Hershey's Kisses cereal.
Oh, nice. That sounds good.
Well, you know it's going to be great. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you also know it's not going to be great for you.
Oh, yeah. You know
I would love to see the amount of sugar in a Hershey's Kisses cereal. Not as a good way, Eddie.
I mean, it just sounds so good. Is it going to be just a bunch of Hershey's Kisses in the bowl?
Yeah, so like...
no way.
It looks like a Hershey's Kiss.
But it's crunchy.
But it's like made as a cereal, so it'll be chocolatey and it'll kind of be like a Cocoa Puff almost, but Hershey's.
But healthy.
Yeah, kind of. No.
No, not at all?
No, really not at all.
I'm looking at it
here. It's from General Mills, so I don't imagine. They have most of the sugary cereals.
I will eat a Hershey Kiss in 1 second. I mean, it takes me longer to peel that foil off of it than it does to eat a Hershey Kiss. I loved it. Sometimes at Christmas, the big ones, you get one of those.
Oh, yeah. You can't finish those, though, can you?
Oh, I can finish it in a second.
You can, the big one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't eat it as fast. Good and bad. I love to get it, but I eat the whole thing because I don't have any sort of moderation. But I do love Hershey Kisses, and Hershey Kisses cereal are coming out. When?
Yeah, it'll be out in early 2020, and it'll be at all retailers when it drops. So.
All right, there you have it. That's Food World with Morgan number two.
That was Food World with Morgan number two. Num, num, num.
There you go.
Bobby Bones Show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Maren Morris wrote a song on the same day she found out she was pregnant.
I had her write the day that I found out I was pregnant. I was writing with the Love Junkies. They were like the first people I told after I told Ryan. And they were just so excited. They're all mothers. And so we wrote a little song to kind of commemorate the news. I don't know. It might end up on the new record. Who knows?
According to Country Air Check, Luke Combs' song Beautiful Crazy was the most played country song of 2019, followed by Morgan Wallen's Whiskey Glasses and Jason Aldean's Girl Like You. Thomas Rhett shared his family holiday traditions and how he wants a fake Christmas tree, but his wife doesn't.
I think a lot of them are going to be stemmed on traditions that we grew up having, like whether it's opening one gift on Christmas Eve or always getting new ornaments for the Christmas tree or making sure the Christmas tree is always real is something that Lauren is dead set on, and I wish we could get a fake one, but you know, we're going to get a real one for forever probably.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A couple in Indiana has been hanging emergency coats all over their own town that anyone can take in case they get caught out in cold weather.
And that's the best.
Right?
Yes, because it just makes it like people don't have to be embarrassed to ask for a coat. They can just go grab a coat.
And also sometimes I'm just an idiot and go, I'm good in t-shirt. Then I'm like, dang. And then I borrow an extra coat, then I put it back, and then makes me want to put up a couple too.
Mm-hmm.
A couple named Carl and Kathy live in South Bend, Indiana. They were worried about people getting caught out in the cold. So they're taking coats and gloves, and they put them at different spots around town. And people are using them as emergency winter wear. Homeless people that are idiots like me, because I do that. Like, I just go on a long sleeve shirt. I'll be okay. And then I'm like, oh, no, it is not good. And so the first round of coats they put out were gone in a day, and people are now donating as well because they saw this.
That's cool.
That's a good story. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from New York. A 22-year-old was out shopping with his parents. He wanted a new car. They're at the dealership. He really wanted a BMW. His dad's like, I'm not buying you a BMW. So the 22-year-old keys a BMW on the lot. Because he thinks, then dad will have to buy me the BMW.
Because if you break it, you buy it.
My...
Yeah. Oh, man.
That stinks.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. We're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, nah, here he is.
Turn it up.
Lunchbox, you got a Christmas tree for your house?
Yeah, I took the family last night, and I decided, hey, let's go get a Christmas tree. It's Christmas season, so we went to a little Christmas tree lot. And looking around, I said, hey, man, how much for that Christmas tree?
These are real trees, right?
Real trees. Yeah. And I'm talking maybe 5 feet tall. I'm taller than the tree. And the guy goes, $75. $75. I'm taller than the tree, and you're going to charge me $75.
What's the other option?
I guess you go buy an artificial, or you can go buy a damaged one on the other side of the lot, and they're cheaper. Like they're missing hunks of branches, or... they're slanted the wrong way. They look ugly, like the ugly puppy dog, Santa's little helper on The Simpsons.
So what about going into the woods and finding your own?
Ooh.
I never thought of that idea. But it did get me thinking that we should sell Christmas trees.
Of course.
Guys.
Wait, but who's we?
The entire show.
Okay.
There's how many of us? 9?
Okay.
Okay. So we plant 5 trees in each of our yards right now. Okay, 5 trees. This is just a trial run. And in 1 year, we cut them down and we have the Bobby Bones Show Christmas lot. Just imagine how much people would pay for a Bobby Bones Christmas tree. Oh, you're telling me this tree grew in Bobby Bones' yard? That'll be $500.
No, first of all, no way.
How many years do you
have
to wait?
Yeah, I don't think they grow fully in a year, do they?
Yeah, like, why not? You just water them.
No, it takes years. Like, even right now.
Someone Google how long it takes to grow a Christmas tree.
I don't know if this is fact, because even my pastor, when he said it, he didn't know if the Christmas tree guy was telling him fact or trying to get our congregation to buy trees then, because there's Christmas tree salesmen that sells where our church is. And he said that there's a shortage this year, heads up, because 20 years ago, people didn't plant enough Christmas trees, or there are some that died 20 years ago, so therefore there's a shortage now.
According to National Christmas Tree Association, it can take as many as 15 years to grow a tree of 6 to 7 feet.
Yeah.
Or as little as 4 years to grow a really small one.
Mm. Okay, so this is problem solved. You go, because people at the end of the, when Christmas is over, they're going to throw their real Christmas tree out in the front yard. They're going to chunk it by the sidewalk. You go pick that tree up, and that's the ones we replant.
I'm out.
Wait, you re...
I'm out of
Why
this.
Would you not replant it?
I don't know that that works, but... Because you've already cut it.
And then some of the people that work here like, live in apartments. Where are they going to grow their tree?
He doesn't
tree?
Have the roots.
There are. You're telling me there's not grass at the apartment complex? I mean, there is community section at the apartment complex.
I'm a bit shocked that a Christmas tree is $75.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking 5 feet, guys. I mean, it was a pretty tree, but come on.
What did you end up doing?
Yeah, what'd you do?
I went to the damage section. Got one that leans a little bit to the left, and I have to turn it around backwards. That way you don't see the couple of branches missing on the backside.
Good for you.
Yes. Yeah. But guys, the Bobby Bone Show Christmas tree lot.
Now, I'm out, right? I'm out.
You looking for an investor?
No, I'm looking for a yard to plant other trees.
Speaking of the yards, how's the house search going with you two? What's the latest there?
I haven't really been looking. The holidays has really got me.
It got hard to look around this time of year. It's like brutal. I don't even want to think about moving, much less not enjoying my holiday because I have to move.
What about your kids? They need a new school by January.
Yeah, I know. The struggle is real. It's like education or enjoy family time. It's so hard. I know. That's why I'm pursuing this whole, like, trying to figure out a school they can go to without us having to move. Or come January 1st. I don't know what we're going to do. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of acting like sometimes it doesn't exist. That house is still available, though. Lunchbox, the one I watch it all the time, and I'm like, should we just
drive
get
to it?
It
and watch it?
Yeah, I drive by it.
You sit in the driveway?
It's literally right by my dad, so I drive by it, yes.
Yeah. Here are the three biggest songs on yesterday's chart. The chart comes out, and we usually do Tuesday's Top 5, but we're going to knock them out here real quick.
Okay.
These are the biggest songs on the chart. At number 3, here is Thomas Rhett, Remember You Young. Here you go. And no matter how much time goes by. At number 2, Luke Combs, Even Though I'm Leaving.
Just cause I'm leaving, it don't mean.
And the song had a 3-week run at number 1.
Man.
Number 2 this week. At number 1, Old Dominion, One Man Band.
I don't want to be a one man band. I don't want to be.
Those are your top 3 songs. Usually do them yesterday. I forgot. The number 1 pop song is from Lizzo. It's Amy Good as H-E Double Hockey 6.
Mm-hmm.
When you sing that one?
Oh, one man's gonna be kind of... That's not it? Mm-mm. It's a different song?
Yeah. I put my hair...
Toss my nails.
There you
Tell
go.
Me how you do it.
You toss your nails?
I throw my hair back. Toss my nails.
You toss your
nails?
That's
what I sing. Yeah. Tell me how you do it.
I do my hair, toss, check my nails.
Oh, there you
Baby,
go.
Baby, how you do it?
And the number 1 hip-hop song is from Travis Scott, Highest in the Room. Here you go.
I'm the highest in the room.
Yeah. Those are your big songs right there. There you go.
Bobby Bone, come on.
I finally had time to sit down and watch the Bluebird documentary. And what the Bluebird is, it's a place in Nashville where songwriters go and play their songs. And sometimes it's songwriters you never heard of. Sometimes it's Garth Brooks. It's actually where Garth Brooks got his record deal. And it's a very famous place. It then became super famous when Nashville, the TV show, busted out because they would do their songs there.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to play it a few times, and I'm in the documentary, and so I wanted to see just what they kept from, like, my hour-long interview. And I'm in a few times talking about it, but it's really good, especially if you love, like, the history of country music. And the Bluebird is in a strip center. Have you been?
Yeah. No, I've been by it. I have not actually ever been inside, but I think I was going to go with my aunt and my mom one time, and the line was too long.
Almost impossible to get in. It's so small. It's literally in, a strip mall. It just isn't what you think it would be.
No, it's like right across the street from the mall.
But there's so much history in this place and all these songs. And they're also doing performances in the Bluebird. I'm going to tell you, this Tennille Towns, she does Jersey on the Wall on this documentary, which is about, and she's played on our show before, it's about a kid dying in a car crash. And she goes to the school and there's a jersey hanging in the gym. And she's like, well, what happened? And they tell her. And then she does this song here.
If I ever get. Oh, I got a long list of questions. Like, how do you make a snowflake? Are you angry when the earth quakes? How does the sky change in a minute? How do you keep this big rock spinning? And why can't you stop a car from crashing? Forgive me, I'm just asking.
The whole place was crying. The whole Bluebird. And I was watching it, and I started to get teared up again. And she's played it in here twice, and I've teared up both times. And I'm just thinking, how does she do this song? She has to, like, separate herself from the song, right,
totally.
When she plays it?
Yeah.
Because it's about such a serious thing, a real thing. She's so good, and they run the whole her whole performance in the Bluebird of her doing it. And so there was another part where I cried even harder. I don't know what's happening with me. I was driving down the road the other day, and Will Smith, just the two of us, came on. I started crying.
Why?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you saw Will Smith.
I don't know why, Eddie.
Just the two of us?
Because the kid's like the dad. This is a very serious question. Then he's like, it's a whole thing's like him about him and his son. I don't know why. I've got tears coming down my face. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I think as I've been going to therapy more, some of this stuff's been coming out. Not even about that specifically, but I'm just forcing myself to be more in touch with emotion, period. Mm-hmm. So things are hitting me harder.
That's good.
There's this one part, though, in this Bluebird documentary where there's this kid. He's 7 or 8 years old. Maybe he's 9. Whatever. He's that age. And he's a singer-songwriter. And his dad gets him a guitar, and he's playing. And he talks about driving in the car, and him and his dad are listening to Kelsey Ballerini's song Peter Pan. And so he's in the car, and he goes, I just wanted to write the opposite of that. So me and my dad went home. We wrote the song. And his family, like, does vacation in Nashville every year because he loves country music. And so he's at the Bluebird, and he's playing because he got on the open mic night.
Oh, wow.
And he's at the Bluebird playing the response to Peter Pan. And Kelsey surprises him. And I was like, oh! I was a mess.
That's so cool.
I was a mess. I know. It's really good.
So now where do we watch it?
Well, you can watch it anywhere that you rent or buy a movie.
Okay.
Because it was on Amazon. I was like, great, I have Amazon Prime. But you still have to rent the movie.
Right, which is the case.
So iTunes, Amazon, Google, anywhere. But it's the Bluebird documentary. We had Hunter Hayes on talking about it. I'm the very first voice in the whole thing. They don't put my picture up.
Oh, yeah, but it's your voice?
They talk to me. Yeah, and they don't say it. But it's like I say something, and I'm the very first voice on it. But I think I'm in it 4 or 5 times, but I'm just a side player. There's some, like, Vince Gill's great in it. The performance of the folks from Nashville is really good. So anyway, enough. I've said enough about it. It's the Bluebird documentary, and it is great. So if you love country music, I would check that out. Did you take your kids to see Frozen 2?
I didn't, but they did go.
What did they think?
They loved it. They thought it was so good. Stashira, my daughter, she cannot wait for Frozen 3, and they have a hard time explaining to me everything that happens in a movie, but in a nutshell, I told them to give it 5 out of whatever 5, and they said 5 pieces of snow out of 5.
That's their recommendation.
Yes.
5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Eddie, and your son saw it.
Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah.
He gave it 4.5, but I mean, that's because I gave him a hard time about giving movies 5. For a while, he was giving everything a 5. So, but yeah, he really liked it.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So the Bible app revealed the most popular verse of the year, and it's one that it's stuck with me because my mom used to tell me this exact verse in college when I would worry about everything, and I just thought I had all these problems. And it's Philippians 4:6, which says, basically, do not worry about anything. Instead, through prayer and petition, present your request to God with thanksgiving. So think of the things that you're grateful for, and then pray about the things that are stressing you out, but don't be anxious.
Yeah, I do the opposite of that, just so everybody knows.
I know, and I would too.
Yeah. I just focus on everything. I try to fix everything I can, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, it seems like a lot of people might feel that way. That's why this was the most popular verse, is because people were wanting to read it over and over, probably. Okay, so doctors say, in other news, that drinking whiskey can help relieve cold symptoms. So,
really?
Bottoms up. And confession.
Bottoms up. Okay. Yeah.
No. So, my daughter Sashira was having some, I don't know.
Great nose question.
And
yes.
Throat issue. No, this is like a legit thing.
Yes.
So, we didn't have any cough medicine, but when my brother-in-law was here for Thanksgiving, he likes whiskey. We normally don't have that in the house, but we bought it for him so it would be there. So I was like, oh man, we got some whiskey in the cabinet and like this could help her sleep. And I know back in the day before NyQuil and Tylenol PM for kids with coughs or whatever came out.
Did you do it?
No, we didn't because I felt, I had conflict within my heart about it. But I was like, you know what? I bet my great grandma wouldn't have even thought twice about this, you know? So it probably is fine in moderation, but I just felt wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one. Listen, if I were sick and didn't have NyQuil, I wouldn't drink whiskey.
Right.
Because I'm holding on to my streak of never having a drink of alcohol.
Yeah.
But
if that were the best remedy for a cold, would you start drinking whiskey?
Probably. I don't know. I struggle.
Here's the perfect remedy. This is the hot toddy for if you're sick. Whiskey, honey, lemon juice, and hot water. Mix up that little concoction, and it can relieve nasal congestion, perfect. And I'll, you know, probably make you feel really good.
I'm just afraid that I would be drunk, and then I would always want to chase that feeling I had when I was sick.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but we do that with NyQuil.
That with NyQuil?
Oh,
wait,
whoa. Tell us more.
One time Amy got onto me, though, when I told her, this is years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, sometimes I just drink NyQuil at night so the day's over.
Oh my gosh, Bones.
Were you a part of the show when I said that?
No.
And I was just talking.
Yeah, but it worried me.
And Amy was like, this has been years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sometimes I'll just be like, I want the day to be over. So I just drink NyQuil. And Amy's eyes got so big. I don't do that anymore. I haven't done that in years.
Right, but see, this is like that. I mean, I'm saying people will do that. Sometimes I just, I want to sleep. So I take a little cough medicine. I don't want to cough, but I'm not just condoning that.
But okay, it brings up an interesting thing I want to bring up later, too, about my dog. Just remember this conversation. But that being said, would you let your 11 or 12-year-old have a shot of whiskey, not if she doesn't know it's whiskey? She just thinks it's cough medicine. Amy, you wouldn't know.
No, but part of me is like, why did I do? Who cares? Like, it's...
But you went with no.
I went with no.
Lunchbox?
Yeah. I mean, they don't understand it's alcohol. They think it's medicine.
Uh-huh. Eddie?
Drinking with my kids, that'd be kind of cool. No, I would not do it. Okay. No.
And I wouldn't either. All right. One more story.
And lastly, female urinals might become a thing.
How does that work, huh? Excuse me? How's that, huh?
Okay. So they have this invention, and it's a cardboard funnel. I assume you would get a new one each time someone comes to the bathroom.
You would hope.
But so cardboard, so recyclable or whatever, and you pee into the funnel and it goes into the urinal. And the idea is that it'll also cut women's bathroom lines in half because women can move a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay,
I'm like,
so
I don't feel like I'm going to be able to move a lot faster because if I have on pants, like guys can unzip and... still go to the bathroom. Like, if I have on pants, like,
Amy thinks that all guys use the bathroom like an elephant, if you know what I'm saying. She's like,
that's what you did, Amy.
Does his trunk. Yeah.
So, I guess I just feel like if I'm standing up, the only way it would work is if I had a skirt on or something.
What are your thoughts? Would you try it?
I mean, I guess I'd try it.
Morgan, number two, you looked up funny whenever Amy said this. Is something. I feel like you have one of these in your purse anyway because you go so hard. Like,
no, I don't.
What are those things called? They make those. They make little.
I don't be against it.
Portable funnels for girls that, like, if you're out in the wilderness and you need to pee, like, they create a little thing where you can stand up.
Big market on that female wilderness peeing.
It's called the Go Girl.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the Go Girl.
I'm looking at this. They'd put urinals in the bathroom, like male urinals, and they just give you a cardboard thing to pee in, like mm-hmm. Amy says.
Wow.
There's nothing fancy about it. It's not like a woman urinal. It's a straight regular urinal, but there's just the cardboard thing that you...
And if it speeds things up for their restroom, like, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I think it's just a culture thing, right?
Yeah.
I think that...
Yeah, and they can fit more urinals in a row, so therefore more girls can go to the bathroom at the same time.
And I bet you girls aren't gross like guys. They probably wouldn't do number two in the urinal, like sometimes guys
ew,
do.
What?
Yeah,
no!
Guys do it and it's disgusting.
No. Yeah. Are they confused?
No. Nope,
why would they do that?
Because they're stupid. That, and then also people throw gum in them, and somebody
has
to clean
awful.
The gum.
Yes.
You're an awful person if you put gum in the urinal. Yeah.
I agree.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yes, guys are disgusting. Is that it?
I had to use a urinal once. Yeah, that's it.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, no, that's not
go
it.
Go ahead.
That's
how did
it.
You have to use a urinal?
Well, it was all that there was, and I really had to go.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
And I didn't have a cardboard cutout.
So you just like hovered, like climbed and hovered?
Well, I didn't. I thought I would go front, but I decided to just go.
Like a dog? You did a leg up?
I went back like that.
Yeah, how'd that work? So you kind of backed into it like,
it was fine.
Dang, you little girl, won't you back the thing up?
So,
So if. I wish cardboard
like
urinal had been handy. No.
TGI Fridays? Like, what was the
whole thing? At a bar?
No. I don't even know where my husband and I were. I mean, he's aware of my predicament and my situation. And I, like, literally had to go. It was either, like, I'm going in this urinal or I'm going, like, on the floor.
Yeah.
So I went in the urinal.
And it turned out?
Like, fine.
40% in?
No, I mean, I was pretty proud of myself, yeah, but it was awkward.
Mm-hmm. Were there other guys around you at the same time looking
no.
at you?
No.
All the guys are standing up to the wall peeing.
No, it was a single bathroom that had a urinal, but the toilet was like not able, I don't know, it was just disgusting. So I went in the urinal.
All right, there you go.
There you go. I'm Amy, that's my pile.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There's an 11-year-old kid in Ohio. He's on the school bus riding to school when he notices his friend had passed out. So he alerts the bus driver, who gets the paramedics there. Only problem is his friend doesn't speak English. And so the 11-year-old was able to translate from what the kid is saying to the paramedics and the paramedics to the kid.
Wow.
And he stayed calm in the whole situation so they could know exactly what was going on, what he was feeling. And they say, you know, good job by the 11-year-old.
Wow.
Wow. That is a good one. Man, that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come, Bobby.
Again, another day closer to Christmas. That means it's time for another Christmas joke.
The Morning Corny.
Which of Santa's reindeers has bad manners?
Which of Santa's reindeer have bad manners?
Rudolph.
Oh, that's pretty good. How Rudolph. That's good.
That was the Morning Corny.
Bobby Bones Show.
You're talking about whiskey, and if it's okay to give your kids whiskey because of a cold?
Yes.
It reminded me, just a quick around the room here. My dog's been out of control, and I still have these sedatives that the vet gave me from when he had his surgery. So when he gets way out of control and it's nighttime, I just break it off and have him eat one of them. And he passes out.
I mean,
good move or bad move?
I mean,
like, really, be honest.
Probably not the best move. And it's, I mean, because it's a dog, we're like, okay, whatever, it's fine. You know?
Amy, he's out of control.
I know. Because, like,
he's out of control.
But, I mean, this is me. I don't even want to say it. Listen, I know that my mom gave me Benadryl for road trips and stuff.
Yeah.
She told me. And this is back in the day. You didn't even have to be buckled up for a road trip from Texas to Alabama. And so we would sleep on the floorboard and she would pass us out and it just made the trip a lot easier. So, and I turned out fine. And then I have given my son medicine before when he just needs to sleep. Oh, and my daughter. When they first got here, I did it. So I think you're fine.
So it's, you say it's okay to give my dog a sedative. Yes. Lunchbox?
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I give my dog one whenever it thunderstorms and he won't leave me alone. Instead of just like trying to comfort him, I'm like, okay, sedative, boom, go to sleep.
Thunderstorms I get. Because my dog, my last dog had issues with thunderstorms. Like, you're literally doing something because of us.
Oh.
Me, he's just an idiot right now. And he's chewing and biting. And I'm just like, you know what? I'd rather rest. Pill.
No, then that's bad.
Okay, so we have one yes, one no. Eddie?
Sure, why not?
One's another yes.
I'm totally with the it's a dog thing. Like, she can't talk back or anything. Like, my dog, I wish I could remove her voice box because every time somebody walks by the house, she barks for a long time.
Morgan, so, number two, what do you think?
I don't think you should be doing it. Eddie, that's the whole reason why he shouldn't be doing it. Just because it doesn't have a voice doesn't mean you can do anything you want.
Okay.
Two to two. Yeah, so don't
Raymundo,
do it.
Raymundo, final vote. Is this okay or no?
Yeah, you own that thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
So, you're the boss.
So I get to, so I'm going to stay with it for a bit.
PETA's not listening.
PETA? PETA's stupid.
Well, you have just opened yourself up.
Tell us more.
When the Georgia Bulldog, when it was raining and the Georgia Bulldog was in the back of his box, in the back of his, and they put a thing out there, goes, this Bulldog is not meant to be a mascot. That Bulldog has the greatest life.
Greatest, yeah.
All those mascots.
Like I understand why PETA exists and I love for the reason they exist, but they're over the line a lot of times. But anyway, okay, so we're good. I can sedate my dog.
Yeah, you're good.
3-2. The Supreme Court just ruled it 3-2. Coming up in a second, we're going to play Name That Christmas Movie. You guys like Christmas movies or no?
Yes.
I play a clip from a Christmas movie. All you got to do is name the movie. Okay, so it'll be a clip from the actual movie. If you're in the car with someone, make a little coffee bet or something. We'll do that. Coming up next.
The Bobby Bones Show.
The game goes like this. I will play you a clip from a famous Christmas movie. Just name the Christmas movie. Write your answer down. If you miss it, you're eliminated.
Woo.
Here we go. Clip number one.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
No! Okay, there you have it.
Such a good movie.
Let's play it one more time.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, what I'm movie is that from? What Christmas movie is that from?
I'm in.
I'm in.
All right. Amy?
A Christmas Story.
Lunchbox?
A Christmas Story.
Eddie?
A Christmas Story.
You're all right, and you will all be moving to the second round. All right, here we go. Name this Christmas movie.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
All right, we'll play it one more time. Name this Christmas movie.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
Love those old movies.
Men.
I'll take a guess. I'm in for the win.
It is black and white, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Amy.
Home Alone.
Lunchbox.
Dirty Harry.
Not a Christmas movie.
Dirty Harry goes Christmas.
Dirty Harry versus Santa. Eddie?
Home Alone.
It's Home Alone.
Well, why did you guys say it was an old black and white movie?
In the movie.
It's black and white.
Got him.
Kevin is watching
the black and white movie.
You guys threw me off by doing that.
But you had already written
it down, too.
Mm-hmm.
Lunchbox has been eliminated. Movie number three. Name that Christmas movie.
Santa! Oh, my God! I know him. I know him.
Yeah.
So funny. I'm in.
You guys got it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Amy?
Elf.
Eddie?
Elf.
Okay. Name this Christmas movie.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
How's that sound for you? You want to hit it again, guys?
Yeah, one more time, please.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Okay.
Amy, you look like you're struggling over there.
Miracle on 34th Street.
Incorrect.
Shoot.
Eddie?
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
It's a Wonderful Life.
There it is. There's our winner. Yay! There's our winner, Eddie.
Happy Merry Christmas, everyone.
I knew it after
Feliz
I said
Navidad.
Come on.
Eddie, I would say 2019 has been the year of you dominating games.
Thank you, man.
General.
Yeah, for sure. I guess if I could put it in a sentence, it'd be all I do is win.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
You know?
Dang.
I know you want to be like me, dude.
What?
Wow. Bobby Bone, come on. A guy had his friend act like he was robbing a convenience store while he and his girlfriend were at the store, all for a proposal.
Oh my gosh. That's okay. This could go horribly wrong, but.
Well, some are calling it one of the worst proposals ever. Some are calling it one of the most creative. So, yeah, so they're in, it's him and his girl, they're in a store, and he had his friend come and act like he's robbing the store. The fake robber orders everybody to the back of the store, scaring the girlfriend so much that she's down on her knees.
Oh, no.
Fearing for her life.
Yeah.
The brilliant plan was to have the fake robber ask why she doesn't have a ring on her finger. Give the boy...
Why don't you have that ring?
Give the boyfriend the ring, and then the boyfriend proposes. The store was also down with it. This video is from their surveillance cameras.
Oh, wow.
How many kids?
Three.
How old are your kids?
14, 6, and 2.
What do you mean you're not married, man?
I'm saying, right.
Yeah, we're not married.
No.
Would you marry me?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you.
Bones, I love that.
That is awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Okay, this is not good.
As long as she doesn't like.
She could have trauma from this. As someone who's had a gun and been jumped, is not. I don't like it. For me, I don't like it. It actually makes the hair on my arm stand up to think of that you might die because someone's robbing the store.
She could have peed herself.
I didn't think about that.
It's funny because it worked out, right?
Yeah.
I just think, man, if I'm in the store and I think I might die.
Mm-hmm. And just think.
I don't like that. I don't like that feeling for anything, even as a joke. I'm going to go not for me. And I love proposals that come with thought. I'm going to go not for me. Amy, what do you think about this
If she's
one?
Ever now in a real life predicament like that, she's going to be like, okay, what's up?
She punches the robber in the arm. Stop it.
She's like, stop. Wait, what?
There's a Fresh Prince episode like that where the guy robs a store, but they've been set up a prank and he doesn't know it. So he's like, come on, it's over. You guys are really robbing him.
Right. Yeah. So
that's
just,
a good point.
No, I'm not a fan of that for many reasons.
Lunchbox?
Home run. That was awesome. She sounded so happy with it. She was like, I'm going to kill you. Like, he's a prankster.
Eddie?
I got chills listening to that. Like, I really felt the love out of that.
You got chills, like, yes. In a loving way?
I did. I say yes. I love that.
We're torn right now. Morgan, number two, we're coming to you for the final vote here.
Absolutely not. Do not ever propose to me like that. I would kill you. No.
Okay, 3-2, you guys lose. There you go. I thought that's such a funny story, though, huh?
It is funny.
Come on!
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So I want to shout out to Duneland Studio in Indiana. It's these two guys. It's a tattoo shop, Steve and Joe. And they use their talent to help people heal. And they put tattoos over scars, specifically right now, a lot of mastectomy scars, like for, you know, breast cancer survivors that have had to have the surgery. And then there's a scar left, but they make it beautiful with a tattoo.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I guess you wouldn't think about because it's not shown publicly all the time.
Mm-hmm. No, but they say that it's a great way to help these people heal. And they started to get a lot of clients and they realized it was a thing. So now they're kind of become like go-to guys to
That's
do this.
Great.
And they do all kinds of scars, not just mastectomies. So
I have a scar that goes from bottom of my sternum down to my
penis. You could turn that into a legit
caterpillar.
Like,
ooh, flames.
Ooh, yeah. That looks so good.
That's what it's all about. Thank you.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is a Bobby Bones show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Amy, how do you feel about waiters that come out singing?
I mean, I'm fine with it. Like, is it for your birthday or just the menu or your
Any
what?
Of that.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, they're just doing their job, making it a little more exciting.
People are enjoying this waiter at the Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
It went viral.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, Amy Haddix, took her daughters, and one of them had just turned 17, and so they go, and the server comes up and is singing Happy Birthday. And so here's a clip. By the way, you guys, before you hear this, annoyed or think it's fun?
Annoyed.
I like it. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Lunchbox, you're annoyed.
Yep, I'm already annoyed.
You don't like the singing.
No, it's and when they try to do it over the top, just do it real fast. Happy, happy birthday. Cool, get out. Don't be to try to be a showstopper. You're not that good.
Okay.
Or what if he is
Eddie,
that good?
And you
it's
like
fun.
It
adds to the whole thing. You're at a restaurant. Have some fun.
Okay. Here is this waiter singing Happy Birthday.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helen Ella. Happy birthday.
Now, how do you feel about it?
I like it.
Still not that good. It's good for a waiter.
Even better. Man, tip this. Listen to that talent.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, how do you
Bones,
feel?
You don't like it?
No. It's a little breathy.
What?
First of all, I don't think he's that good of a singer.
Thank you.
I think he's okay for
Thank
a waiter.
You.
Can you do that?
No, but I'm not trying to. I'm not screaming and trying
but
to do
when
runs.
When you were a waiter,
if he
did
came
you
on
ever?
American Idol, and I'm working with these kids all the time.
Oh, right.
I would be like, chill out with the runs. I tell these kids all the time, stop running all the time. Do like one moment. Otherwise, everybody runs all the time.
Okay, but he's not trying out for American Idol. He's singing a girl
Garden,
happy
man.
Birthday at a restaurant.
I know.
How do you feel about it?
I'm okay with it. If people are tipping him, he should keep doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I work as a waiter for a long time.
People might request his
but
section.
My thing is he's going viral because of his singing. There are a lot of better singers. But, hey, more power to him. I ain't hating on it. I'm not a big singing guy at the table, though.
So as his waiter singing mentor, you would say cut the runs.
I'd say cut the runs. Don't be so dramatic about it. You can do it at the very end, but come out and just sing the song. Let's hear how strong your voice is, not all the runs that you do.
Mm. I think you have a new thing, you know, just mentoring
everyone.
Singers everywhere, like waiters, flight attendants.
Oh, no. Here it is for all you flight attendants. Gosh. Stop it.
Yes,
when I get on
that.
My Southwest flight and you sing into that microphone, even if you're the best singer, the microphone makes it sound bad. And I'm trying to go to sleep.
What about rapping?
No, just stop.
What
about
I
the
like
comedy?
It.
Let's just stop.
What about when the pilot gets in on
oh,
it,
Oh, man.
Too?
One time we were flying into Kansas in the middle of a storm. We were flying to Wichita. And it's like, I mean, it's like we're going down. And I'm like, well, boys, we may not make it. And the plane's like, it's shake. You feel the tail like whipping. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And the pilot comes on. Thank God he's going to tell us that we're going to live or he's going to give us advice. We're going to have to land somewhere else. Because, Amy, it's the hardest storm I've ever been through in an airplane. And the guy's like, everybody out there, we're currently flying, but I like to ask everybody a question. What was the number 3 song on the chart back in 1960? And I'm like, we're doing trivia when we're about to die. Didn't need that. needed.
He was probably trying to distract you.
No. Don't distract you from landing the plane. We're going through a storm.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have to be focused, fool us into thinking you are. Come on and go. Oh, everybody on the plane. I know we got a little storm here, but we're going to be just fine. We deal with this all the time. Just got a little rain in the clouds. We knew where we're going. We flew right through the radar. No problem. We'll see you on the other side. I don't need rock around the clock. It was number 7 on the charts in 1971 for what art? I'm not trying to do win, lose, or draw on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just bring my food. I don't need a waiter singing to me.
When you were a waiter, though, you didn't do anything a little extra, little jokes here and there?
I was a great waiter.
Okay.
And I would be friendly with the table.
Do you feel like sometimes you flirted?
Oh, for sure.
Did you say you flirted with older ladies?
Yeah. Yeah. They're
like give me an example of how.
Well, no, they would like pinch. I'd be like, they would come with their daughters and be like, the sisters are here. Oh, look at the Winslow sisters are here.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the real ones would like pinch your butt.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
You had your butt pinched?
Yeah. It's before me, too.
Hey, it's part of the job.
Yeah, so.
Wow, I'm sorry.
I lived.
Yeah. You're okay.
I got tips. I welcomed it, actually. I was like, hey, I'd lean into it a little bit.
Hey, have you been watching The Morning Show? No?
There's a different time, Amy.
I know, but you need to start. I want you to watch it.
I know. It's on Apple Plus. I don't have that yet.
Just get it. Get the trial.
But then I forget to unsign,
right?
You're not going to want to unsign because there's also this thing called the Elephant Queen.
My nickname in college.
Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just keep it. Just keep it. I keep doing the trials, like Disney Plus trial, keep it. Apple Plus trial, keep it.
Yeah. Bobby Bones. Yeah. I saw that people with tattoos hook up more than people who don't have tattoos. You know why that would be?
Why?
Because, by the way, I have 4 tattoos.
They didn't interview you?
No. Obviously. I would have taken the average down.
Yeah.
Because apparently wild behavior and taking risks with your body.
It's not as wild as it used to be. I don't know.
Because tattoos show signs of taking risks and wild behavior. And that's also viewed as attractive to the opposite sex. So even if you're not doing it, people see you as a little riskier, a little more wild, and they're into you more.
Oh.
Again, not me.
Well,
no one's ever come
to show your tattoos more. They're covered up with your sleeves a lot.
I like to hide my bad boy.
Yeah.
It also makes you more desired because of that edge the tattoos subconsciously mean to people. Visible tattoos and everyday clothing were the most promiscuous group with the most hookups. Yeah, I guess I don't have visible everyday. If I had a t-shirt, I do. The researchers also found that people with tattoos are also more likely to be smokers. Not me. More likely to spend time in prison.
Not me. Who was surveyed?
And more likely to deal with sleep problems.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
So is that why people get neck tats? Because they're visible and that means they get to hook up more?
I don't know
if it's about hooking up. But I have.
But they probably definitely were in prison.
I may try to get one, though. And my other
tattoo?
One, the microphone one. Yeah, during the Christmas break. Maybe.
On the same arm? What do you think?
Yeah, all same arm.
Oh, wow.
I'm not putting them everywhere.
You think you'd eventually get a sleeve?
It's not about that.
It's
I'm just not putting
turn
it
into
any,
that.
I'm not putting it anywhere else.
Oh, I thought you were going to put the mic on your back.
Mm. Yeah, what do you have?
I have Joy.
You have how many?
I have 2. Joy and a squat.
And you are known to hook up.
Mm-hmm. So true.
I have 4, right? I have Mirrorball. I have my grandmother's initials.
Oh, I forgot you had Mirrorball.
And then...
When I went Dancing with the Stars, Sharna and I said we were going to get Mirrorballs tattooed on us. And instead of getting the trophy, we just wrote Mirrorball on the back of our arm. Then I have my grandmother's initials, my mom's initials, and the state of Arkansas.
Right. And then you're going to get a microphone.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a microphone or a right microphone?
No, I think I'm going to get one because remember, I said if I got into the Radio Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. I would put, and I just never have.
You got in.
Yeah, but tattoo. I never got the tattoo.
Also, I think I'm supposed to get your face on my body, but you tricked me.
No, the deal was when I go to Haiti, you would get my face, and
but
I
you,
went to Haiti, and
you wouldn't.
But you're not really going to do that. You're just saying that, but you're not really.
No,
gonna
I mean,
do that.
I think about it whenever you bring up other tattoos because I'm like, shoot, like if you're following through with your microphone tattoo, like who am I not following through
Boom.
With getting your face
exactly.
or whatever?
Exactly. Lunchbox has none. Eddie has none.
Zero.
Never.
Morgan, number 2.
I have none.
Would you get one?
No, I'll probably never get one.
Why?
Not my thing. I also really hate needles, so I wouldn't sit still long enough for it to happen.
Yeah, but I would say it's not a needle.
Yeah, it's different because I don't like needles either.
Yeah. You ever met anybody that goes, you know what I'm really into? Needles.
No.
Yeah, I never. I mean, everybody I know is not into needles, you know, because I'm not into needles either. They freak me out. But I never met anybody that's like, you know what? Oddly, I love needles. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think you would have 4, maybe 5
I think
tattoos?
I'd have any.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but sometimes your rebel spirit just comes screaming out.
That's right. Bad boy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm going to go maybe during the break. I think I'm going to get it on the top of my, like here on my forearm.
Oh, like Popeye?
On the Arkansas tattoo, like right below it. Here's a funny thing. I don't want to go into this too much because it's Amy's story and it's a bit private. Well, one of our bosses went to Amy and they had to have a conversation about if I leave the show to go run for office, be governor of Arkansas. Speaking of Arkansas, we don't have to talk about it that much. Mm-hmm. But I just think that was a funny conversation that is now being had around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so our boss's boss's boss had to have a conversation with Amy about it if I do leave to go run for governor of Arkansas.
Wow.
I know. That's how real it is in my heart, too.
So we would... So she would be you?
Who and knows? We would I'm not saying what Amy's side of the story is.
What?
Yeah, Amy, what did you
saying,
say?
I'm not saying anything. It was...
But I'm not making that up, right? It did happen.
No, it is a talked about thing, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't... Look, guys, I don't know. I'm just...
Well, what'd they tell you?
It's mostly just asking Amy if she wanted to take the show.
Yeah.
What? That is not what happened. Not what happened, guys.
So what happened?
I don't think it's something to talk about. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. We'll chat off air.
I don't know that she would want me to talk about it, but
send me an email.
Okay. Okay, conversation over.
But that's how I know I've talked about it. And people are like, are you serious? There's now contingency plans for if I do decide to go, I'm going to run for governor. Peace out.
Wow.
What?
And this is how you tell us.
He's been telling us.
He's been saying it could really happen.
What are you talking about?
I didn't believe him.
Obviously, if he does, there has to be some sort of a plan.
What were you saying?
Nothing. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. I'm into it.
No.
What?
Nothing.
Changing the name of the show, Amy?
No.
Oh.
Yes, Bobby Bones. A couple weeks back, I mentioned that one time I broke into a radio station, took over the airwaves.
Yeah.
It's in my first book, if you want to read it, called Bare Bones. But if not, I'll just tell you the story real quick. So whenever I was 22 years old, I had just turned 22. I was working in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I was doing nights. And so, you know, I would go in at 3 or 4, go on the air at 6, be on till, I think, 6 to 11 p.m. was my shift at this point. And so I was on, and there was a radio person across the street, like a competing station, who had put stickers all over our radio station van. And I was like, oh man, that's not cool. I'm all for competitiveness, but you can't damage other people's property. And you know, those bumper stickers were tough to get off on anything. So I was a little irritated by that. And so at the end of my show, when I finished, I had a guy whose name is Gilligan, and he was my stunt guy. He'd go out and do all the crazy stuff. I said, hey, we're gonna go break into that other radio station. He's like, why? He's like, why? I said, because they put stickers all over our van, and we will not have that. And I was an idiot. I was 21, 22 years old. And he's like, okay. And so they had just flipped a new country station in that building. And they had just turned it on, and so they were very much dialed into making this country station work for them. And I said, hey, Gilligan, we'll go into the props closet, the prize closet, and put on a cowboy hat and an old country shirt, and just go tell them that you work for the country station, and they'll let you in as soon as we get off the air. And I got off the air at 11 p.m., and their night guy didn't get off the air till midnight. And so he's like, okay. So he goes, and he puts the cowboy hat on. He puts the country shirt on. And before we go, we pull up a picture from the internet of their studio. I said, here's how the buttons work. They've had a whole studio. It was like a grid to take over. And so I said, this button here turns me up on the phone. This button here does it. He takes a picture. And so he's like, okay. So I teach him how to do this. We get in the car. We drive across town. And he walks up. I let him out of the car. He walks up and he knocks on the door, you know. And I'm watching it from my car. And they're talking to him. He's back and forth. And then he goes in the building. And I'm like, oh my goodness. He just got in the building. This is crazy. And a little bit I'm still irritated because my van had been stickered. And a little bit I'm excited but nervous that we just sent a guy into another radio station's building to take over their airwaves. And then I might go to jail. I might get fired. I don't know. And so I had told Gilligan that at night in a radio station, you kind of know everyone who is supposed to be in the building. So I instructed him to go into the bathroom and just stand on the toilet so you wouldn't see anyone's feet. Because if there are only 5 people in the building but there are 6 pairs of feet, something's fishy. So he stands on the toilet for 40 minutes. And just waits. Finally, when the guy that was on the air left the building. He walked into their studio. And I saw that guy drive out of the parking lot and drive away. And I was like, you're clear. And he's like, all right. So he goes and he walks in their studio. Now, I had trained him how to run the board from just looking at pictures. And I remember clear as day, there was a Celine Dion song on. And it was just she was singing her brains out. And all of a sudden, I hear it come down about halfway of the music. And I'm like, wow, what's happening here? And so my phone rings and he's calling me from the radio station phone line that I taught him how to do. He goes, Amir, I'm on. I said, okay. All you have to do is turn me up all the way to the top. Lock the door when you leave the studio and I'm going to wait for you to get in the car for us to drive off. So he pulls down the Celine Dion music just a little bit. He turns me all the way up. And he goes, you're on. And so on the air, just to make sure, I go, tuh-tuh. And I hear it come through the car. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about to take over their airwaves. So he comes in, he gets in the car, and we drive off before we start broadcasting. So I take the cell phone, and I turn the bottom of it up, and I'm like, all right, we got you guys now. Never mess with our station van. And I'm King Dingling right now. I'm feeling it. I'm the radio pirate. We've successfully taken over another station's airwaves. We've locked the door so they can't get in. There's like three guys out there, but nobody has a key to get in the door. So we're driving around town. I'm like, yeah, what do you think about this? And Gilligan's in the back seat. He goes, let me talk.
Uh-oh.
I know. I didn't think much about it. I was like, well, you know, he did a lot of the dirty work. I just created the plan. He went and did it. So I give him my phone, and he goes, yeah, what do you think about that, mother? And he says it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Says the F word on the radio. Luckily, it was like midnight at this point. So I grab it back. I'm like, no. Well, a few minutes later, they finally got a key, and they got into the room, and they shut us all down.
And how long were you on, though?
15 minutes, probably.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're like, yeah, high-fiving each other. We go to Waffle House to get some food. And about 6 o'clock in the morning the next morning, my cell phone blows up. And it's my general manager at the radio station goes, hey, we need to see you in the office. And I'm like, probably get a medal.
For breaking into another station.
Not breaking in, for taking over.
Oh, yeah, for taking over.
Someone who came and destroyed our van.
Yeah, payback.
Oh. And so I go in, and as soon as he gets there at 8 o'clock, I'm there, we're there. A lot of the salespeople are milling around. And in the general manager's office, he says, come on in. He doesn't shut the door behind me. Then he just starts screaming at me. I can't believe you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is a plot twist. I'm being yelled at instead of congratulated. And he's really letting me have it. One of the few times in my career that I've really been just screamed at. And I can see all the salespeople kind of gathering around listening in the door, because he never shut the door as he yelled at me. And he goes, shut the door. And I'm like, if he did this with the door open, what's about to happen to me with the door shut?
That's where he spanks you.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to get just fired right here. So I take it and I slowly shut the door. And I'm scared. He's a big dude. He's yelling right at me. And he looks at me and he goes, takes a big breath. I go, and he takes his hands in a fist. And I'm like, oh, God. And he opens it and sticks it out like a handshake and goes, that was awesome. And he shakes my hand and he goes, but don't ever do that again. And so I was like, you couldn't do that with the door open? He goes, no, I could not. And so then that station was like, we're going to do breaking and entering charges against Gilligan and me. And I was like, ah, crap. And he's like, okay, well, we're going to do destruction of property since you guys stickered our van.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we'll call it even.
All right. So
they called it even. And a lot of the radio trade magazines started doing these articles like, Guerrilla Radio. Just one time. It was just me one time. They're like, Guerrilla Radio's back. And they had run the audio and they did a whole story about it. And then I got a call from Austin going, hey, man, you want to bring that down here? Never even been to Austin. And I was like, yeah, moved right down. And that's how.
Wow.
That was the whole story there about me breaking into another radio station.
It escalated your.
Stupidest thing I ever did. No, we did Lunchbox. I did them way stupider later.
Yeah. Oh,
in another chapter of stupid things.
Oh, once you made it to Austin.
And that wasn't even the stupidest thing I ever did. Getting fined $1 million ended up being the stupidest thing. Like, that was the most hardcore penalty.
Right. But the other ones, like, you were, like, actively involved and it was a plan. Like, the one where you got fined, it's like you really meant to do that. Right?
All that matters is how you're punished.
That's true.
But there you go. That's the story about me breaking into another radio station where I probably should have been fired, wasn't, instead was promoted.
Yeah. With Lunchbox, you and Lunchbox, y'all should have for sure been fired, right?
That's another episode. That's another episode for another day. Okay. That's true. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening to my story. Bobby Bones. Yeah. All right. What's happening with you today?
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably just hanging out with my dad and doing stuff with the kids. They shadowed a school again today. It's for 3 days. I thought it was only for two or
one.
What
do they get out of that?
I don't know. I literally thought it was just one day. And then, yes, it's three. They are going to school. I don't know if the teachers are evaluating them and then they're seeing if they're a fit.
So it's the teachers watching them more than it is them shadowing.
I guess so, yes. And they're, like, taking the classes, and then I guess they'll take some test. I don't know. But they do it. Today is day two, and tomorrow is day three, and then hopefully we'll find out if we get in.
So you're finding out if you get in.
Yes. What about you?
I have therapy at 2 p.m. today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have dog therapy at 5, which is really just training.
Oh.
Dog's out of control.
A lot of therapy.
Bonkers. I go my therapy, dog go hit therapy. I'm having a trainer come to my house again. He's like, work with the dog with them. This is what happens. The trainer comes, and all of a sudden, the dog's perfect again. It's like taking your car in, and then you're like, I swear to you, it's making a noise. And then you turn it on, it doesn't make a noise.
Right.
And the guy's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But so my dog goes, but my dog has spent time with this dog trainer. It's annoying. I trained my other dog so well, spent so much time with them, and I've tried with this dog, and I'm having trouble. And he's like chewing and biting again, and God forbid I leave him alone with that Christmas tree. Oh, I look over in the corner of the tree, just shaking because he's got the bottom of it. Just can't even leave him out in the house because the Christmas tree. Trainer's coming over. We're doing that tonight, too. So that's what's happening. I appreciate you guys. Don't forget, Eddie and I are playing in D.C. and Virginia Beach. Tickets go on sale on Friday. If you're part of the B team, that pre-sale is today, though. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the show. Goodbye, everybody. The Bobby Bones Show.